In the final sprint before midterm voting ends on Tuesday, President Biden urged supporters in New Mexico, a state he won by nearly 11 percentage points 2 years ago, to get out and vote.
It's going to shape what the next two generations look like. Not a joke, because so much is changing, so much. It's clear this is not a referendum. This is a choice between two vastly different visions of America.
And former President Donald Trump campaigned for Republican candidates in Iowa, where he hinted at a re-election bid.
In order to make our country successful and safe and glorious, I will very, very, very probably do it again, okay? Very, very, very probably.
And to discuss all of this, our Friday Politics Roundtable. Joining us today is Francesca Chambers, White House correspondent for USA Today, and Rick Klein, ABC News political director. Hello to both of you.
Thanks for having us.
Hi there.
Hi. So let's start with you, Rick. What are you, you know, it's always hard to tell this close. You don't really want to make that prediction, but what's the snapshot of which party will control the House and Senate? It's just been so close.
Yeah, I don't see a scenario where the Democrats keep the House, realistically. Only five seats have to flip, and there's just so much territory, blue territory, including in places like New York and California and Oregon, where Democrats have to defend. It feels like Republicans are on offense too many places. The Senate's another story, and this 50-50 Senate could still well end up at 50-50. I've got my eye on three states, Pennsylvania, Nevada, and Georgia. Whoever wins two out of three of those probably wins the majority, and it's very possible that the Democrats trade one in Pennsylvania for the Republican pickup in Nevada, and we're waiting on Georgia, maybe even another runoff in a whole month afterward. But so many races on a razor's edge, it could still really go either way.
So, Francesca, if this is not a red wave, but more of a red ripple for Republican gains in the House, if not the Senate, what does that mean for President Biden's agenda then over the next 2 years?
Well, if Republicans do take control of both the House and the Senate, it will stall any legislative effort that the president hopes to achieve. I mean, he said that his first act would be to try and codify Roe if Democrats expand their majority in the United States Senate. And that's certainly something that he wouldn't be able to do. Now, that being said, what President Biden would be able to do is be a check more or less on Republicans' agenda. He has said that he would veto any number of things that they might try to get through, such as if they were to try to repeal the Inflation Reduction Act, the Democrats' health and climate spending bill. So that is what the next few years could very much look like for President Biden.
And let's get a little specific. Let's dive in here to some of these individual races. Pennsylvania Senate race. Republican Mehmet Oz has been attacking Democrat John Fetterman for high crime rates in Philadelphia. Last night on CBS, Fetterman pushed back.
I am the only candidate in this race that actually had hands-on kinds of experience against fighting against crime. As I was the four-term mayor of a community for almost 14 years, and I made gun violence as really at the center of all of my focus.
Rick, you write about soft spots for both parties as this election cycle nears an end. What do you mean? What do you see as being really at play in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, it's interesting because we have an election where simultaneously there are blue places where Democrats are worried. That's why President Biden, as you pointed out, has been in San Diego and in New Mexico in the last couple of days. And there's a rush to try to save the governorship in New York. You also have some panic in red places where it could be a Democratic governor winning re-election in Kansas, still in the conversation in the Senate race in Iowa, where President Trump was last night. Meanwhile, you have these Senate battlegrounds that truly have been like basically presidential level spending. These candidates are fully defined. It really is a matter of getting your voters out there a little bit more than the other. I think the issues of crime and inflation in particular have definitely gotten into people's minds. I think that's driven some tightening in the polls. But whether that is a closing message, whether that's the message that puts a candidate over the top, that remains to be seen. It's certainly resonant in a bunch of places, including in that Pennsylvania Senate race. But Fetterman's got a good pushback. And of course, that's a state that Joe Biden was able to flip back to the Democrats just 2 years ago.
Surely lots of money spent and turnout has been high, more than 35 million votes cast already across the country. In Arizona, Maricopa County election official Bill Gates A Republican said it's going to take several days to count votes. He said that is normal, but he had this message.
For those of you who want to try and intend to disrupt either on election day or beyond as the counting continues, we're going to push back very strongly on that.
So in Arizona, armed men have been told to stay away from ballot boxes. The Republican candidates for governor and secretary of state have each questioned the results of the 2020 election. What are you bracing for next week, Francesca? What do you see?
Well, it's in other states where we've seen a high turnout in terms of the advance voting, like Pennsylvania, they can't begin to count the ballots until election day. So you've also seen officials there warn that it will take some time to count those ballots, and note that even if, let's say, the Republican in that race is up on election day, that you could find yourself in a situation where Democrats who have cast the majority of advance ballots could catch back up. And so officials warning folks not to read too much into those early voting returns, and that it could, again, be overnight and a few days before all the votes can be counted. And we know who controls the House and the Senate.
You know, another really interesting race that Democrats thought they had sewn up is the Senate race in Georgia between Democrat Raphael Warnock and Republican Herschel Walker. But as we're getting down to the wire, Herschel Walker really seeming like he might actually come out ahead. You know, I wonder how much the new voting restrictions in Georgia that took place last year might actually be at play here, because they are, we should say, seeing record early voting in Georgia. But there are concerns about a low voter turnout among black voters, particularly because of limitation on ballot boxes and the new voter ID requirement. Rick, what do you make of that?
I think it's going to take some time to unpack the real impact. I think the fact that so many people are voting early, we don't know if that's because voting habits have changed. We don't know if that's more of a permanent thing, or if they're responding, maybe even turning out more because of knowing of the restrictions. That's an election, like many others, where the Democrats are going to win the early vote. The question is, do Republicans turn out in enough numbers on election day? And I'm not ready to say that any of the turnout numbers are indicative, frankly, of anything. There's some terrible numbers for Democrats in Florida, some encouraging numbers for them in places like Georgia, in Ohio, in a few other places. We're going to have to wait and see. And I think, you know, counseling the patients, the same thing that we heard from Maricopa County, is going to be true across the board. It's going to take some time. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with the process. I know we at ABC are doing a lot of prep work to try to telegraph to people exactly what's going on and when, and that it's natural for voting to take time and for counting of votes to take time. And if there are close races, and it looks like there'll be a lot of them, it's going to take a while. And again, in Georgia, it could be a runoff. So, you know, everyone has to brace themselves and brace for the long haul.
You know, just quickly, the Democrat, Raphael Warnock, 2 years ago, he was such an exciting candidate to so many. And, you know, he squeaked in his win of his Senate seat. Why now do you think, you know, someone as controversial with everything that we've heard recently about Herschel Walker, rather than focusing on Walker, why is Raphael Warnock not maintaining that level of enthusiasm that there was for him 2 years ago?
I think for Walker, he's running in a much better environment than any Republican did in 2018 or 2020. Warnock has to deal with not just a national environment where the Democratic brand has been tarnished because of high inflation and disapproval of Biden. Also, the fact that the incumbent Republican governor there, Brian Kemp, is pretty popular and is probably going to win widely. He'll benefit from that. His number won't be as big as Brian Kemp's, almost certainly, against Stacey Abrams. But there will be people that get helped by that. And frankly, I think a lot of voters is just Team Red and Team Blue. And these days, it matters less who the person is and what's in their background than who they're going to vote for a majority leader.
There are reports today that former President Donald Trump will announce a 2024 bid soon after the midterms. Francesca, what do you make of that? And what sort of political capital do you think the former president will have once these election results are in?
Well, that Georgia runoff that could potentially happen that Rick was referring to is something I've also heard could potentially be a factor in the timing of an announcement for former President Trump. But as you played at the top there, he's now saying that he's very probably going to be announcing a presidential bid at some point. And we have seen him at rallies in these battleground states. You mentioned Iowa. He will also be in Pennsylvania this weekend at the same time as former President Obama and former, as well as current President Joe Biden. So everyone will be heading to Pennsylvania. But I've also been told that even if former President Trump did announce his campaign, it wouldn't be that dissimilar from what we are seeing, the types of rallies that we are seeing across the United States right now.
Well, thank you both. Francesca Chambers, White House correspondent for USA Today. Rick Klein, ABC News political director, Great Insights. We appreciate your time today.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much.